Wellness begins where play, pleasure, and the parasympathetic meet. You were born to be you, and you were born to be well. Your body is always trying to find its way back to health. Now, here's the host of Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith.
Hello, 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 all my friends and listeners. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, your witchy doctor, your change advocate. We are on the Inspired Choices Network trying to inspire choice because we have the ability to choose our life. And today I have with me, I'm so honored that Carrie West has decided to join me, Carrie Casey West, if I'm being complete. And we're really going to do another episode. We did one, it was probably over 6 months ago now, but it's something so near and dear to my heart. And what I call it is narrative medicine. And it's about rewriting your story, reclaiming your life, understanding that, as one of my friends, David Fagan, says, live your life like you're going to write a book about it, because you get to write every chapter. But not only that, you get to rewrite every chapter. You get to edit the chapters, and you can have prequels and sequels and take twos and all the changes. And so we're going to chat with Carrie West. She is the creator of the Life Rewrite System. So she's got a system. I can't wait to hear about her system. And she herself had to rewrite her story of her life. And she did that. You know, she started working in the film industry where they're always telling stories. She went to the American Film Institute. And as she realized, our lives follow the same patterns as we've been taught to write stories. So we literally are writing a story as we live our lives. So welcome, 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 Carrie West.
Yay. The whole topic is so near and dear to my heart. I'm so thrilled to be here with you, Tina.
I love it. I love it. I'm really excited. And, you know, I think I always say the healing arts, like when I go to a play or a movie or, you know, a concert, and I know my body changes, my body actually heals, right? And we have forgotten that not completely, right? There's stuff out there on laughter, but a good cry is great too. And all the emotions, right? These healing arts help us feel our bodies and energy and feeling and connection, all of, and seeing ourselves and others. So let's get to your story. I'm excited because I don't know your story. I know you, and I know you now, and you're amazing. But let's get your story. So I like to start our first segment off, and it's like, let's go from the past to now, right? And life, time is made up, and yet humans live in time, right? And so tell us your story, right, of why you are where you are today, but where did it come from? Because people often see, oh, she knows how to do this because she's, but no, we all have a freaking story. And so I want to hear your story because I don't know it.
Okay. All right. Well, as you've read in my bio, I had a very traumatic beginning. Mm-hmm. I was born in the 1950s, and at that point, it was so different than what we are in today. You had the little ladies or the big boys, but on top of all those other layers of messages we get about who we are, I was born into a family that just didn't want me. I was rejected in the hospital. But instead of putting me up for adoption, because you didn't do that, or our family doesn't do that, they just brought me home and proceeded to, if she's hungry, too bad. If she needs her diaper changed, too bad. So I was in a traumatic space from day one. I like to say this, and I really believe this. When we are born, it's like we are walking into a movie 20 minutes late. Do you ever walk into a movie 20 minutes late and you have to ask, you know, you say to somebody, I drive.
What happened at the beginning?
Yeah. What did they do? Do you ever walk in, your friend, your husband or family are watching television, and you walk in the room and say, "Ooh, that looks exciting. What's that about?" And they're like, shh, just sit down. Well, that's what it's like when we're born. you walk into this family that's been for decades in some cases developing their story.
I
So
love that concept. Right.
they have their plots, they have their whole story, and you're walking around and going, okay, who am I in this story? Who am I?
Right.
You don't know your role, you don't know your motivation, you don't know anything. So you start absorbing around you because the greatest pull we have at that point is this need to belong.
Yeah.
And so how do we know we belong? We speak the same language, we use the same words, we believe the same things,
Right.
we dress the same way. That's how we know we belong. So you walk into this play and you're seeing what the characters are doing, and you're like, all right, so they think that life sucks. All right, so life sucks. All right, and they think that life is a struggle. Okay, I believe that too. Life is a struggle. All right, I belong with this family. Yay! We don't have the ability to question any of it.
Yeah, I call it it's I try and teach about consent, right? And the child, there's no informed consent of thought.
Thank
They
you.
it's they're just no consent at all, no curiosity. What if I don't think that? Right. I
Yeah,
love
and you don't have language yet. We're pre-verbal.
No. Yeah.
And here's the other thing, and I know you'll relate to this. We communicate more with our emotions than we do with anything else. So if you,
94% is
yes,
nonverbal.
if you see your parents arguing, if you feel their fear, if your mom had even an ounce of postpartum depression, you absorb that.
Right.
That's how you get information about what life is. So back to me.
Yeah.
So I almost died a couple times because my parents wouldn't feed me. They didn't take care of me. I had so many other issues, but what was really happening was I was completely stressed.
Yeah.
I had severe PTSD. And so flash forward,
Baby PTSD. That's so sad.
I know.
So sad.
But you know, you move, it gets good. It's a happy
No, I
ending
get it. No,
here.
I know. It's just
So
interesting.
you go along and you go to high school and it gets worse and you just don't have any good skills for dealing with life. And that was me.
Right.
So by the time I went to college, and I had to go to college because I had to get out of that house. And I studied psychology because honestly, that was the degree that would get me out of my parents' house. That was the one that got me to main campus. I got the degree in psychology. And then in my 20s, I was a mess. I was constantly drinking. And honestly, Tina, I don't know how I made it home from bars sometimes. I would just wake up in my bed and I have no idea. And I finally said, I'm going to hurt myself, but worse, I'm going to hurt somebody else. And that just didn't sit with me. So I
You
said, I
started to
gotta,
know who you were.
well, yeah, that was the first clue.
Yeah.
But I said, if I don't do something about my life, I'm not gonna make it to 30. So I went to work and I just started looking everywhere. I talked to my priest at church, which I'm not a religious person, and that just sealed it for me. It did not go well. I went to therapy. I went to every kind of therapy, personal, private, group, transactional, whatever, any kind of therapy, I was there. Then
Right.
I went to metaphysics and personal development and growth because now we're in the 70s, now we're in the 80s. And so that's when, take back your life and get in charge. So I did all of that. And then by some stroke of genius, because I had absolutely no self-esteem. More self-loathing than anything else, but I'd always wanted to be a writer. And I overheard somebody talking about the American Film Institute. At this point, I was living on the East Coast, and I thought, I'm not going to NYU. Which was a great film school. And I heard somebody talking about the AFI. Overheard it in a restaurant, actually. And I said,
Interesting.
And I looked it up, and it was in California, which was a whole nother part of a dream I had had as a teenager. But it was so prestigious, and I thought, well, I'm not going to get in this. I mean, they only took like 10 people for each of their five programs, and Lo and behold, I got a call from the head of the department. She was in New York and wanted me to come to her place in Manhattan on the Upper East Side and meet her. And I was so afraid. I didn't think I was dressed right. I had no idea how to talk. I had no skills in that way about how,
Right.
what's my social skills? But I went, and lo and behold, I got accepted.
Love it.
So I moved to California and went to film school. And again, I'm filled with all this. You know, the last 8 or 9 years of therapy and metaphysics and personal growth. And I probably went to every kind of metaphysical workshop that showed up. I was on a mission to figure what was life about? Why are we here? And we're in film school and we're doing one of our projects and we're rewriting it. Well, what's the character really going to do? Well, who, how are they going to go on this journey? Well, this is the ending I want. It kind of, I went, my life is a story. It's a crappy one. But I have characters, I have antagonists. My older sister was the greatest foil in history. You know, I had a plot, I had challenges, and everything was just cycling. And I realized, you know, how I overheard that conversation about AFI, which got me to apply, which got me here, and it's like, oh my God, it's a story. And if you've ever worked on a movie set, every day you walk in, and the first thing the script supervisor says is, here are today's rewrites. Because you're always looking at how does our hero change? Well, the antagonist, the actor or actress will say, I don't think my character would say that line. What's my motivation for that? Where, what do you want me to feel? What do you want me to convey? This is why I think AI is going to have a real trouble with doing a serious movie because it can't capture that look. And we were even challenged to write a whole scene just saying, so one character said so, and one character says what? And you can have a complete dialogue with one character saying so and one character saying what by the way you use it and the nonverbal cues. So anyway, this all tied into
Hold
it.
on, it's time for our
Oh.
first break, and I love it's a good segue. We're going to take a break on the so what, having a go to your break, go get your coffee, your tea, come right back. You're listening to Your Healing Playground. I'm your host, Dr. Tina Cooper Smith. I have with me Carrie West, and just ponder that you can have an entire conversation with two words, so and what. I love that. That is good. And I do improv. I've been taking improv classes, so I totally get
Yep.
it. And I love it. So come right back because we have so much more to learn from Carrie West and how to rewrite your life. Because, folks, you get to write your life. It's yours to write, not the antagonist, not your parents. No, you, as a responsible adult, responsible means. Response able. You are able to respond to your life, your challenges. And Carrie West is going to teach us how. So come right back.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Cooper Smith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness because you are your best healer.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, everybody. Once again, you are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. If you enjoy some of this learnings from our podcast, please pick up my book, Your Healing Playground. It's taken from amazing experts, myself and many of my guests, and you can have tips and tools at your fingertips to learn about how to heal yourself, because I do believe that you are your best healer. And right now I have with me Carrie West, and we're learning about rewriting the story of your life, because your life is like a play, like a movie, like a book, and you get to write it. So Carrie, we left off with having a whole conversation with so and what, and that 94%, if not more, of our communication is really nonverbal. As a child, we download all the information nonverbally and verbally before the age of 7 to make sure we're taken care of, make sure that we fit in, that we belong to our family, because it's the only way we can survive is to make sure people take care of us. And so we pick up so much of our belief systems without critical thinking. And then we hit our 20s and we think we know who we are, but really we've forgotten who we are. I just went to a great remembering to help myself remember who I am, right? Because I think I'm constantly trying to get back. Who am I really, right? Yeah. It's a life. I think we spend our life, if we're interested, trying to figure out who we really are. So I love for you to tell us, how did you get from you started writing and helping rewrite movies and plays, and how it clicked that this was, you're writing your life story? Tell us more.
Yeah, well, you just said it. I think so many of us feel driven to remember. You know, something just doesn't feel right. Do you ever look in the mirror and you say, sometimes the skin doesn't feel like it's really mine, and you just, you keep changing clothes, or you go, maybe if I get a new car, maybe if I get a new husband, wife, child, maybe if I have a baby, maybe, mm-hmm. maybe if I get that job. And what's really happening is, you know, especially when you wake up midlife, you kind of go, something's wrong here. I've done what I'm supposed to do. I mm-hmm. went to school. I got the job. I have the family. I have the 2.5 kids. I have the picket fence. I have yearly vacations to great places. And?
Right.
And?
Been there, done that. Should have met you in my. No,
yeah,
I didn't.
I mean, we that's 90% of my clients. So now that I'm retiring.
It's not retiring. It's your choosing to.
Yes, exactly.
You.
So the first thing is, and this is part of my rewrite system. You can't rewrite the script if you don't know what it is. You have to have the script in hand, and you have to read it, and then you see that script. So you're aware. Oh my God, I have the script. Ah. Now you have to, this is the fun part. And a lot of people, and this is the working part, but this is really the fun part. What is your origin story? In a masterful script, and we've all seen it on TV shows and in the movies, you find out the backstory of your protagonist, your main character, the great screenwriters do it in such a beautiful way. It can be done in a conversation, it can be in a sentence. But this is also why you look at your characters and how do they dress? Where do they come from? What's their house look like? All these are clues to who this person is. Where do they live? What kind of car do they drive? These are all clues to your very, very original story. When I looked at mine, I started to understand. I had to understand my parents in order for me to understand. It's like, why did they reject me? What was wrong? Because when they rejected me, you know, without information, I said, I must be such a horrible
being. We turn it in on ourselves.
Yeah, I must be so broken and damaged. And I got very colorful with some of my language. I'll be careful not to use those words here, but I had a lot of descriptive words that you'd have to bleep out. So we're not going to say those. But I just thought I was this horrible, ugly, gross thing. And even every time metaphysics would say, you know, spirit does not create anything ugly. And it's like, well, I'm the exception. Here I am. Okay, spirit, you blew it with me. So getting that message didn't help because I didn't understand that I was feeling so crappy before that. So I looked at my parents and I looked at their families and I looked at their families and I kept looking at these generational stories that get passed down. Now, my parents were both first generation Americans. Dad was from Italy. Mom was from Serbia. Two volatile people getting together. But then you look at their backgrounds and their origin stories, and they were raised in the Depression and they had their whole stuff. And I realized that my parents didn't have the skills to do anything more than repeat the stories they were given.
Right. I hear you. I know that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I, instead of hating them and blaming them anymore, I had so much compassion for them. And from that place of compassion, I started to forgive.
Yeah.
And I forgave them and I felt bad for them. You know, but at that point, my parents were long gone. My parents both died in their early 60s. So did I want to keep hating them and blaming them? Or did I want to do that journey to find out their backstories?
Right.
Which made them the people they were when, you know, they had kids, not because they wanted to reproduce or they wanted to take beings. You know, we got a dog and I just want to love that dog more than anything. My parents didn't have me because they wanted to love a being into adulthood. They had me because that's what you did. You had kids.
Right.
I don't even like kids. My dad never wanted a family, but that's what you did. You had kids.
Wow.
So,
I want to stop for our audience for just a second because I want that to land.
Yeah.
That we are at an age right now in society, in at least in America, that we really as adults get to choose, do we get married or not? Because marriage used to be a political, legal, binding. Women were sold and you got paid. The dowry was a payment. We were sold into marriage. We were told it was forever. No friendship is forever. And other than this, but it was a political, legal, financial institution that was created for having heirs and also to separate, to keep women and the goddess culture. There was a different culture before we have this monotheistic advanced culture, quote, and I'm putting that in quotes. And so we do live in a time right now where people, and there's freedom and slavery in it, because as adults now, in your 20s, you have a choice. Do I get married or not? Do I marry the same sex or a different sex? Do I work for myself or someone else? Can I truly, America's really interesting. Do I stay poor or do I fight to be rich? Right. And we realize that we can change. Yeah. We are response able adults and we can make something out of nothing, which is what we all are. But that was not the powers that be, that's threatening.
Yeah.
And so I love the fact that you can, first of all, forgive your parents, right? And yeah. recognize that they did what was imprinted on them.
Yeah.
They yeah. were reactionary beings, which is what all animals are,
yeah.
except for humans have this extra
yes.
layer of awareness. And
yes.
you got this awareness.
Yeah.
So you started and you forgave your parents.
Yep.
And then when did you learn to forgive yourself?
Oh, that's an ongoing process. Now,
I
mean, every day I do a forgiveness meditation in the morning and in the night
Oh, I love that.
Because here's the thing. We are so hard on ourselves. We treat ourselves worse than we would never be friends with us.
Yeah, I know.
If my friend ever treated me the way I treat me, they'd be gone. But I have to deal with myself every day. So forgiveness is a constant. We judge ourselves. We punish ourselves
yeah.
so horrifically
yeah.
for easy mistakes. I mean, I made a mistake yesterday, and I had to really say, take a breath. It'll be fixed. You don't have to. It was about my website. I made a mistake and lost a complete day of work I was doing on a Sunday on a holiday weekend. I decided to do this, and it's like, ah! It's like, okay, shh, calm down. Don't fire up your amygdala and your cerebrum any more than it already gets fired up. Let your adrenal glands rest for one day. Just let
you
them
know,
rest.
I love
I know you
so
can
much.
relate to that.
Oh, yesterday, so I got stung by a bee on Saturday, and I took a Benadryl Saturday night because I was scared I would get a worse reaction. And then I think I was hungover all day yesterday, but I couldn't move. And I'm like, I need to get junk done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
And
yeah.
I couldn't. And
yeah.
it was, and then you're struggling. Wait, I'm allowed to rest. Blah, 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 blah. You know, so yes.
It's all part of that story.
Yeah.
It's all part of that story. And the interesting thing, you just said something. My grandmother, my mom's mom from Serbia, was one of 23 kids. This is the 1800s. They're farmers. Farmers had kids because you needed
they needed
workers.
To work the field. Yeah,
yeah.
Cheap labor.
So she was one of 23. When she was 13, she was sold, you know, dowry to a 33-year-old man. And she was like, uh-uh, I'm not doing this. So she hid out on a boat that coming to America. So that level
Wow.
of determination was awesome. But
oh,
she
that's
got
you.
to... When she got to America, though, she did the same thing. She married a farmer, had 13 kids. My mom was one of 13.
Wow.
And, you know, repeated it, even though she left. You know, did you ever hear the phrase, wherever you go, there you are?
Yes.
So even though she left the old country and so determined to stow away on a boat, and I love that level of determination, but when she got to America, she lived the origin story she was
Right.
given. And so my mom was one of 13 that was working in the fields, but had all these expectations about what she was supposed to do. So again, the compassion came, the forgiveness came, but that was just the beginning. I had to understand my father. I had no relationship with my father at all. And in a woman's life, a female child gets their sense of who they are in the world from the father. The father
Oh.
represents the worldview. So if you have a relationship with your father that's fraught with challenges, you have challenges in the world. That's how you see the world. Your mom is a reflection of love and nurturing. Your father is the worldview.
I love that. We have to take our break, and I want people, it's a good time again for us to reflect because I'd never heard that before.
Ah.
Yeah. So I love that. So our father is our worldview and our mother is love. And I've learned, you know, the masculine is freedom and the woman and the feminine is love, you know, but I love that your father gives you your worldview and your mother is supposed to give you the nurturing and fascinating. So go ahead, folks, forgive your parents, even as you take your break, and remember, Dad had his worldview imprinted on him, and mom had her worldview and her love or lack thereof, because she had an inner judge imprinted on her. Forgive your parents, but that's a really interesting thing for us to just ponder, and we'll come right back because Carrie's got more nuggets of wisdom when we come right back. You're listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Cooper Smith, and we are on the Inspired Choices Network.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Cooper Smith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness, because you are your best healer.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, my friends. Once again, you're listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Dina Coopersmith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. And today I have with me Carrie West. And I want, before I go keep talking with Carrie, just a reminder, if you like this podcast, please subscribe, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a 5-star review, spread the word, share us with friends. I'm doing this out of the love of helping folks heal. And I just want, it's a ripple effect. So the more people you tell, the more people can heal themselves. So back with my guest, Carrie West. And we get our worldview from dad. We're supposed to get love and nurturing from mom. And some of them have their own issues, so they're not as loving and nurturing as we would like. And where do we go from there, Carrie?
Well, what happens with this awareness and this discovery of where this all came from? It's time to shift your perspective. Mm-hmm. Perspective is a huge part of storytelling. Who is telling the story? Mm-hmm. From what vantage point? So what's your perspective? Now that you have this information, it's no longer, you know, you can't, you're no longer in a place where I'm just going to accept it because that's what I'm being shown. Now you have an opportunity to say, oh, hold on a second here. What is my choice in this?
Right.
And that's where I said, you know, mom and dad are long gone. Do I want to continue to hold on to this thought that they tried to pass on to me and they succeeded for a while? I accepted it for a while. Or do I want to rewrite it? Mm-hmm. Do I want to say, I'm going to look at it this way? And the way I looked at it was, okay, so I wasn't so horribly ugly and awful.
Not at all. Let's just tell you that. Not at all.
I was a collateral damage in a war I didn't even know was raging. I didn't know
Yeah.
if my parents were at battle or dealing with their own problems in life.
Right.
I just was an innocent bystander that happened to get a piece of shrapnel when the bomb went off. Like, all right, so something about that just released me.
I love it.
It was like this whole weight came off of my body. It was like, I was always turtling around. You ever do the turtle? And then
Oh,
all of a
yeah.
sudden, my shoulders relaxed. And that constant knot in the back of my neck was gone. So I said, all right, I'm going to keep going. What's next? So I realized that at that point, I had decided I didn't want to have children, which was because I knew we get different scripts for different aspects of our lives. So I knew if I became the mom script, I'd have a mom story. So we have stories for everything. You're the daughter story, you're the sister story. I'm going to be the mom story. Even when Simon and I got together, I was 55. I had never really dated. And then at 55 years old, I meet Simon and we're like all of a sudden, okay, we're a couple. We never dated. We were friends for a couple of years. We never dated, which was good. Dating to me is just an extended job interview. I don't like dating.
I like that.
So when we got together, my condo in LA was rented, so I moved in with him in Philadelphia after I was living in England. And all of a sudden I'm trying to do all the cooking and the cleaning and I'm hating it and I'm miserable. And I just looked at him one day and I said, I can't do it anymore. And he said, do what? I said, I hate cleaning, I hate cooking. And he said, well, who asked you to do it? I went, oh my God, all this work I've been doing with rewriting my story, and you just threw one right in my face that I had this marriage script. Even though we weren't married, I had this relationship
Oh
script
my
that.
God, I totally took that on big time.
Yeah, I mean, well, I must clean and I must cook. I hate cleaning. I hate house cleaning. I hate it. I do it and because I'm very particular, but I hate it. And I'm not big on cooking, preparing meals. It's like, ugh, found out Simon loves to cook. Good. But you see, it was so automatic that I just went into that role. So it made me start exploring what other scripts I was carrying. It was, could I be a successful business owner? Ooh, I don't know. My worldview from my dad was you have to earn and struggle and you have to get a paycheck. What do you mean be a writer? That's not a real job. And in fact, one of my neighbors, as I invited her to one of my book signings, she goes, oh, that's what you do all day. I thought you were working. You're just writing a book. Are you kidding me? Oh my God. But there's this worldview that writing isn't a real job.
Yeah, well, it's so funny because I mentioned to my sister, that I want to work less as a doctor and I might want to do coaching or I might want to write or I might or do the, but you're a doctor. That's what you do. And I was like, I know. Can I do something else? I get one life,
That's
And
your
yeah.
identity. You've
And it's
identified as
very
the
hard
doctor.
for me to walk away from it because I do love it, right? And I get one life as far as I know, right? Like I have an awareness that the who I am may actually come back, but not in this body, not as Tina Cooper Smith.
Yeah, exactly. But see, this is all these limitations, these the boxes we're all in.
I know,
So
it's fascinating.
that's why every day I want to uncover another box that I can
I love
climb
it.
out of. So that's the but then you get back to let's go back to this because you are aware of your script, you discovered your origin story. Now you got to connect it to where your life is today. You got to say, all right, so no wonder I keep dating the wrong people. No wonder I keep working in toxic environments. No wonder And every time somebody says to me, why do I always do this? That to me, there's your story right there. Why do I always get stuck here? Why? There you go. That's look at that script. Where'd that come from? So now you connect the dots. You connect the pattern, the script, to the origin of that script, to what are you doing today? Because I promise you what you're doing today, you can trace it back. You can go
Right.
back to the beginning of it.
Yeah.
I think I'm freezing up here a little bit. I don't know what's going on. Do I look frozen to you?
We can still hear your sound. I think there is something with the internet connectivity, but your sound is coming through perfect.
Okay, great. So once you have that connection, now with the understanding, now is when you have that understanding. That's when your forgiveness comes in and your gratitude. And that's where it really just becomes awareness. Okay, that's what I've been doing. And I
Right.
know why. I'm just going to forgive it. That's why I said I forgive myself every day.
Yeah, I love that.
Did it again. Some people have said to me, well, you must never have these come up again. Life is not about perfection.
No.
You said responsible. Life is about how you respond.
Yeah. I learned a program. The minute you have a negative emotion, it's your inner child, inner judge, survivor talking. And so the minute you have it, we can't change the thinking with the same thinking. So you have to get out of your brain, back in your body, literally interrupt the pattern, interrupt the pattern, interrupt the pattern, and then come back. Wait, who am I really? This is my child talking. What does my child need? Love her. Don't be mean to her like you might have taken on the criticism, right? And then move. And it's a process. It's a daily practice.
And you have to remember that your brain has a neural pathway that
Right.
it developed. Your brain loves coherence. And when it took all those messages and it built a pattern of who you were, brain loves stories. Stories are easy patterns. So once you try to veer off of that story, your brain will remember you're an idiot. Remember this doesn't work for you. Remember,
Yeah.
and so the self-talk, it's and the, and that's
Incessant.
where yeah, that's where you need some support. That's where having a coach or somebody you can count on to say, okay, I can't seem to break this pattern. Help me out here. Tell me not. I said when I was going through it one time, I said, I need a carry. I need somebody who will say this to me and
Right.
knock me out of this self-talk because I was doing all my techniques and I wasn't getting out of it. That happens. That happens. You're not bad or wrong. This does, it's not, it's actually a sign that the work you're doing is working because your brain is trying really hard to get back
Yeah,
on the familiar pathway.
that ego is so powerful and it wants you to stay stuck. Like, don't kill me, ego. Like, ego's like, I've kept you alive for 20 years, 30 years, 60 years, 70 years. I'm necessary. It's the dictator in our brain. I'm necessary. I'm necessary. Not recognizing that the way we really got here was by collaborating all the body, all the organs. And we're allowed to pick and choose our stories.
It, when we just have to re-engage and train it again. So
Right.
sometimes I even personify it. When it gets really bad, I'll
Yeah.
personify it and say, okay, what do you need from me now?
Right.
Can I send you on vacation? I'm really grateful you did protect me. And that's the other key thing. So many of these stories were designed to protect us as we were making sense of the world. When you're again pre-verbal, I have no idea what I just came into. So your brain works to make sense and protect you. How many times has your mother said to you or your father said to you, I just don't want you to be disappointed?
Yeah.
I tell you this because I don't want you to be hurt or disappointed. What? Sometimes life hurts.
That's the key too. Life pain is human. Suffering is we're carrying the pain over and over again, and we don't need to. We can let it go.
You can let it go. Feeling hurt, feeling sadness and sorrow is an indication that you're emotional.
You're
When you feel
human.
sadness, it's a reflection of how much you love. When you feel hurt, it's a reflection of how deeply you feel. Don't run away from them. Anger is even a great emotion.
Yeah.
Don't it anger tells you to trust that something's off kilter. So I'm not suggesting you stay in anger all the time. I'm not suggesting you stay there. But don't be afraid of these emotions because they serve you.
Yeah.
And
We need to take our last break.
okay.
So a little, and yes, emotions are energy in motion. They need to be moved. They are human. They are part of the energy part of our body. They're the feminine part of us, and the structure and the order is the masculine part of us. And we need to bring the divine feminine and the divine masculine back into harmony and not tell people to ignore emotions. It's about teaching us how to deal with them. And I'm going over. We need to take our last break. Once again, you're listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Cooper Smith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. Come right back for our last segment with Kiri West, an amazing guest. Ooh, that rhymes.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Cooper Smith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness because you are your best healer. This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Your Healing Playground with me, your host, Dr. Tina Cooper Smith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. You can follow me and follow with my what's coming next. I have masterclasses and retreats all scheduled at drtinaplays.com. The website is getting a redo. It's getting its updo, its new identity. But come play with me online or in person. And today I'm chatting with Kiri West, our amazing guest, and she talks about rewriting your identity, rewriting your story, transforming yourself. How does your work? I want people to know why they should work with Kiri. What do you bring? Like they can journal a new story, they can, you know, but what I'm sure just listening to you, that you really help accelerate people, especially women. We're throwing off so much of the old story in modern times. And how does what you do help people accelerate? And I want to say accelerate their awakening, but also the big one is keep it and not revert back, right? Like, how do we stay in the new identity?
The excellent question. First of all, I cut to the chase. I
got
cut to the chase and I give you tools and I stay your partner in crime, I call it. Because in many ways, when you're dealing with ego, like you were talking about before the break, you have to view it as a character in your story. Your ego is just another character in your story.
Right. I love that.
So when you decide if it's an antagonist or a foil, or maybe it's trying to be the sage, you know, the mentor. And, you know, how do you partner with that? So I cut to the chase. I often say to my clients, and please don't take this the wrong way, you know, I really, really like you, but I don't want you to be working with me for the next 10 years. Let's move on. Then we can really enjoy a friendship. We can partner together. And so it's like, nope, let's try this again. Nope. And because I have this deep empathy, one of the other gifts that this traumatic childhood gave me was deep empathy and intuition. So I can feel into situations very quickly. And when you can do that, I can understand where you're coming from. And the other thing is, I genuinely love this work. So I think people feel this heart-to-heart connection with me, and they can trust me very quickly. And so I believe me, I have seen so much in my own personal life, and some of the stuff I've done, there isn't anything that would surprise me. So you have total freedom to be who you are. And when you have that space where you can just open up and talk about the deepest fear or that deep secret that you really don't want anyone to know. And I'll tell you my deep secret if you want to know it. It's not pretty, but I'll tell you it. But they can share that with me. And just in the relating it and sharing with it, it cuts down walls. So we get there very quickly and you move past things, but then I stick with you. Call me in 10 months if you're having an issue.
So you close their energy loop. You close the old open, ruminating thoughts because they've been seen, they've been witnessed, and no one abandons them in the process.
Correct.
So
And you're not
it's like
rejected.
you're not rejected. And I've been in those circles where I've been able to open up and be seen for who I am, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And still be loved. And it's like,
Accepted.
right. And all of a
Yes.
sudden the body can feel a difference, but my
Yes.
ego does try and get me back there. Like,
Right.
no. Who do you really think you are?
Oh, I know. Who do you think you are? And I teach them, who do you think you are? Hi, I'm Carrie West. That's who I am.
I love it.
So you can call me anytime. To me, I'm your guide. I'm your partner on the journey. But let's get you to, like you said, to this point of self-acceptance where there isn't anything. Now, you don't go running around talking about your deepest secret, but you're not afraid of it anymore.
I love it. It becomes your story. And actually, when people air their story, they're so much lighter, right?
Yes,
We do
yes.
need, and it's fascinating how we're here to sense life, and then the brain makes sense of what we're sensing. But the brain also, I usually say my sense, your sense, but now I'm going to actually say, but the brain makes sense and the brain is also nonsense because
Yeah.
it's not always accurate.
It's literal. And
It's literal. It's a child.
yeah, it's literal. And if you think about it, everything in the world is neutral. We put the spin on it.
Life just is.
Our perspective, our issues color everything. Life is neutral.
And then we decide if like it's all our perspective. This has been so amazing. I could chat with you for another hour, but we do need to close out today. You did ask me, the quick thing, if permanent transformation is possible, why aren't people doing this? And
It's scary.
scary. I got it.
What happens when you change?
Yeah, when you lose your ego, who are you?
Do you have to move? What happens to your friends? And I will tell you, I've lost a lot of friends groups over the time I've been doing my work. But I came to realize that they were there for a purpose, and then I moved on, and they moved on.
Friends are there for a season, a reason, or a lifetime. On this note, thank you so much, Carrie West. Please check out all the show notes. Call Carrie, schedule a session with her, transform your life, my friends. Live with love and freedom post Independence Day. Be free, free to be you and me, as Marlo Thomas, said years and years and years ago. Love it.
If you felt something move today, a molecule, a mindset, or your mood, that's healing. Your body listens to your stories, your thoughts, your breath. So speak to yourself with kindness, play with curiosity, and let your nervous system know it's safe to rest. Dr. Tina returns Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, 8 Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Remember, pleasure is a practice and play is your medicine.